Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message is recorded in the 9th chapter of St. John, beginning at the 6th verse. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and washed and came back seeing. In the precious name of Jesus, who has given sight to us who were formerly blind, dear fellow redeemed. Sight is a precious thing. A number of years ago, I developed an eye infection. An infection in both eyes, actually, and I could barely see. It was a challenge to drive to the ophthalmologist's office, the specialist. I didn't have an appointment, but when they saw what was going on with my eyesight, they made me one, for which I was very thankful. It was equally difficult to drive back home. The Lord blessed the antibiotic salve the doctor gave me, and I regained my sight. But it was scary for a little bit to be without perfect vision. I'm sure that there are some of you who have been in that same position. Sight restored is a very precious gift. Jesus, our great physician, has, as our sermon theme says for tonight, hands that heal. As we consider this theme tonight, I'd like us to remember that the blind need healing. Secondly, Jesus is the one who heals the blind. And finally, those who have sight restored worship the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus came because the blind need healing. That was the special work, the special task that his Father in heaven gave him. The man in our text was born blind. His disciples asked Jesus a certain question. They asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." It was assumed by the disciples, and probably by most of the people in that day, that a major disability was the result of a specific sin. They believed this blindness had to be the result of such a sin. The Pharisees implied this when they accused the blind man of being steeped in sin, the implication being that his former blindness confirmed his utter depravity versus their supposed enlightenment. But what was the truth? Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Jesus had a very special purpose for this man's blindness. Yes, that man needed to have his sight restored, and that's one of the reasons that Jesus came to that man. Yet, that man needed more. Even today, some physical, emotional, or mental disabilities may come about solely that the work of God may be displayed in a person. It also happens that sometimes deficiencies happen as a result of sin. A man or a woman may abuse drugs, have a child, and that child be born with disabilities as a result of those drugs. You may drive drunk, get in an accident, and lose some of those wonderful abilities that the Lord God gave you, even physical sight. Our Heavenly Father is always more willing to forgive than we are to ask. But he does not always remove the consequences of our sins from us or from our children. That does not mean that he loves us any less. Sometimes a person might experience something like St. Paul experienced, a thorn in the flesh to keep that individual close to God. But none of these things were the case with the man born blind, were they? It was not a matter of sin which he or his parents had committed. Jesus' interest was not primarily in the physical restoration of sight, although he wanted to do that. But Jesus' interest was in this. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." There's an amazing man that I met in the 1980s who, for all intents and purposes, did not know that he was blind. Intellectually, he knew he was missing something. He could not drive. He could not read a regular book that was printed with ink. But Dave could do things which were beyond many people's capabilities. He could navigate on campus as well as anyone. He designed a computer interface for his Braille writer in the days when computers had command line interfaces. I got a chuckle when a classmate related how he found Dave underneath his wife's car repairing it. It was getting on towards dark. And my friend asked him, "Dave, should I get you a light?" And of course, a light would do him absolutely no good. Although the two of them got a good laugh out of it, as I did too. Unfortunately, that's the way we are by nature. We're blind, dead, and enemies of God. We're blind, don't know that we're blind, and we don't have any use for the light by nature. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. The man born blind didn't really know what he was missing. Jesus came so that he might receive not only physical sight, but spiritual sight as well. We see that Jesus' hands heal the blind. First of all, we see that Jesus healed the man's physical blindness. And he did this on the Sabbath. And what's more, he went to the extra effort forbidden by the Pharisees to make a salve made of spit and dirt. The man had been born blind. Later on, the man lectured the Pharisees, "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind." Modern science has found that one of the problems they have when they seek to restore the sight of an older person who was born blind is that the neural pathways in the brain responsible for processing images have not developed properly. So just restoring a problem with the eyes does not offer a complete solution. I had almost lost my ability to see more than sights and shapes, and it took the salve several days to completely restore my sight. But Jesus applies the mud salve, tells him to go wash in the scent pool, and miraculously, instantly, his sight is restored. But the man still does not know Jesus by sight. Jesus heard that when they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." This is the true sight, the true gift, the best gift of Jesus to the man born blind. Jesus' healing hands opens the man's spiritual eyes, gives him faith. And what wonderful, thank-filled words come as a result. "Lord, I believe." The Savior's healing hands washed him clean with a healing far beyond that of mere physical sight. The man born blind received a gift beyond price: physical healing and spiritual sight. Yet that gift was bought with a terrible price, wasn't it? It was a price that the blind man could never afford. It was a price that you and I can never afford, but which our Savior gave in willing obedience to His Heavenly Father and His great love for us. Jesus was despised and rejected by men, even His disciples, put out of the synagogue and put to death. Where were the healing hands when Jesus was beaten? Where was the soothing salve when the crown of thorns was jammed into His brow and the blood and sweat mingled down into His eyes? Who was there to cleanse and bind up His wounds when the scourge ripped the flesh from His body? Where is the soothing relief from the pain of crucifixion as His pierced hands and feet suspend Him between heaven and earth? Just as the sight of blind of healing, physical healing, was the least of the blessings Jesus gave to the man born blind, so the physical suffering that Jesus endured on the cross was but the tip of the iceberg for what He suffered for us. You and I can never understand the depth or the pain or the agony or the price that He paid for us that day. On the tree of the cross, He cried out, "My God, my God, why have You forsaken me? Heavenly Father, where is Your hand that heals?" Jesus is suffering for you and for me the greatest pain and suffering, the hell that we deserved, as the Heavenly Father removes His loving presence from His Son. He is now blind to that love and only receives the wrath that we deserved. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He is despised and rejected by men, Isaiah tells us. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Yes, Abel's blood for vengeance pleaded to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Jesus, true God, having finished paying for the price of the sins of the world, and also true man, said, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit." He bowed His head and died. The disciples were crushed. From their perspective, this wasn't supposed to happen to the hands that heal. Yet their joy was to know no bounds when He rose on that third day. Yes, the Son of Righteousness has arisen with true healing in His wings. Because of Christ's perfect life, suffering, death, and resurrection, you and I have something in common with the man born blind. We can now see Jesus with the eyes of faith. And because of Jesus' hands that heal, you and I, those who are no longer blind, worship Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen Him, and it is He who is talking to you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped Him. The blind man professed his faith and worshipped Jesus. Jesus has come to us, and through the power of His Word, given us the sight of faith. He is now our light of the world. His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Daily we worship Him, spending time in that Word which heals us. We remember the wonderful sacrament of baptism, and in daily contrition and repentance, see the old Adam drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and a new man daily come forth. who worships Jesus in righteousness and purity forever. We regularly worship Him in this house. And oh, how glad He is to see you here. We receive the precious absolution and assurance of sins forgiven. With the eyes of faith, we join with the man born blind, confessing our Lord, confessing Him in the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds. In humble faith, we come to the sacrament of the altar, and we taste and see that the Lord is good, as His healing hands give us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. What a great and awesome Jesus we have, who has such wonderful healing hands, whose healing hands are always stretched out in love to each and every one of us. Praise the Father who sent His Son to those who are in need of healing for their blindness, to you and to me. Praise the Son whose stripes heal our blindness, and praise the Holy Spirit who has worked that faith of salvation in our hearts and given us, who are no longer blind, the joy of worshiping Him. Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all, in a full perpetual tide, opened when our Savior died. Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, and blind. Hear the guilty free remission, hear the troubled peace may find. Health this fountain will restore. He that drinks shall thirst no more. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.